before Rabbi Inur comes. Okay, so we are up to discussing the laws of Shabbos Chazoin. Shabbos Chazoin, there's basically no restrictions on Shabbos Chazoin. You can wear, you can eat whatever you want on Shabbos Chazoin. You can wear freshly laundered garments, Shabbos clothing on Shabbos Chazoin. Lechatchila, you should not wear new clothing. That is a lechatchila. Shabbos Chazoin is not a time to put on a new suit for the very first time. But b'di'eved, if you have nothing else to wear, then you can even wear on Shabbos Chazoin a new suit. Now, he quotes over here extensively the Aruch HaShulchan. There are different customs. We learn this words inside the very quickly. There's a machlekes. Maybe you should wear on Shabbos Chazoin weekday clothing. Weekday clothing. And indeed in Breuers, in Washington Heights, there's very few people left. What I understand, I have a friend who lives there. He told me that Breuers really is no more longer Breuers. That's what he told me. He says there's almost... there are only a handful of people that are still left from the old-timers that still follow all the customs of Breuers. They are very, very few, but it used to be a very, very big community. The minhag was to wear on Shabbos Chazon big day choil. You don't wear. And Aruch HaShulchan discusses this at great length, which we learned inside, and he says that his understanding is it all depends. It all depends if the clothing you wear on Shabbos is similar to the clothing you wear during the week. In some communities, it was almost the same thing. If you wear a suit during the week and you wear a suit on Shabbos, the only difference between Shabbos and the week is on Shabbos you wear a nicer suit. And during the week, you wear your old Shabbos suit. On Shabbos, you wear a $40 tie. And during the week, you wear a $20 tie. Hat, you wear your old Shabbos hat as your weekday hat. So it's all the same. It's just a question of fresh, it's a question of newer, more expensive. So in such a community, then indeed you are correct. It would be preferable on Shabbos to wear your big day choil. Because your big day choil really are your old Shabbos clothing. But if you live in a community where during the weekday you walk around in jeans and polo shirts and sneakers, and on Shabbos you wear a suit and you wear shoes and you wear a hat, of course, if you were to wear your big day chol on Shabbos, you got a problem. That's going to be a very, very big problem. That is not what Chazal had in mind. That on Shabbos Chazon you should wear your big day chol. Therefore, in that situation, it's a given that on Shabbos you should wear your big day Shabbos. And indeed, that is our custom. Since among us, that's pretty much the way it is. Most people, at almost every level, it's completely different type of clothing. Kmat, not everyone, but more, but it's very, very common. Male, that's why the custom among us is to wear on Shabbos your regular Shabbos clothing without any restriction whatsoever. You can polish your shoes, you can brush your hat. There's almost nothing you cannot do in honor of Shabbos. Okay, next topic is Yayin on Friday night. You can make Kiddush on Yayin, everything can be regular, and we just to review very quickly, go about Mitzvah Shabbos, Havdalah. Do you make Havdalah on Yayin? So the Shulchan Ramah says, don't make Havdalah on Yayin. You should give the wine to a child. You make the Baruch Hagaf and the child drinks the Koysho Havdalah. So what do we do? So that Ramah says this is what you should do, and indeed many, many people do it. However, let me read you the words of Rav Moshe Feinstein that are quoted over here. Okay, we discussed this last time. That Rav Moshe says, maybe I can't find it. I had it marked up where Rav Moshe says. Okay, so you took long to find it. I really can't, lost it. Rav Moshe says that the minig among us, the Ramo is only discussing a situation, a community where they never drank wine for Havdalah. They always drank beer for Havdalah. And now, for the very first time, you want to make Havdalah on Yayin, it's not the right thing to do. But among us, we always, most of us, make Havdalah on grape juice or on Yayin, and it's a mitzvah to make Havdalah. Therefore, there is no restriction whatsoever. Person lechatchila can make Havdalah on grape juice or wine. If this is what you do every single Mitzvah Shabbos, Rav Moshe's opinion is you should continue doing what you do. And the Ramah that says you should not make Havdalah on Yayin, you should make Havdalah on grape juice, is not referring to our generation. It's referring to a different tkufa where they never made Havdalah on wine, they made Havdalah on beer. Don't start for the very, very, very first time. That's a very common question. What do you do with Mitzvah Shabbos? People to the Ramah. The Ramah says it's asur. Okay, ein hachanami. So many people follow that. But again, it's kedai to know what Rav Moshe says about this Ramah. Next topic of discussion. Let's talk about the laws of Erev Tisha B'Av. There's a special halacha that on the morning of Erev Tisha B'Av, you're not supposed to go for a stroll. You're not supposed to go walk around. a tiyul. In the morning, after for sure in the afternoon, but even in the morning, there's another layer, the layer of chumrah that begins to kick in erev Tisha B'Av in the morning. And that is, erev Tisha in the morning is not a time to go on trips. It's not a time to, because leisure, because, it doesn't really explain why, it's very unique halacha. One may not take a pleasure trip, tour, or stroll in erev Tisha B'Av afternoon. This is the Ramah. This is not a halacha that applies to the 9 days. During the 9 days, l'chatchila, you can go on a pleasure walk. You want to go to the beach and walk up the boardwalk, as long as there's no issue, other halachic issues. So you can do whatever you want. There's a special halacha that it's an in of simcha, leisure, to do something like this. It should not be done erev Tisha B'Av. That's the only halacha that's unique. It appears to be to the morning of Tisha B'Av. Next halacha. Now we come to chatzais. After Chatzos, Erev Tisha B'Av kicks in a new halacha that you're not allowed to learn Torah. It's a very unique halacha. Not to learn Torah. Not only are you not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to learn Torah Erev Tisha B'Av. This is a... After Chatzos. Now this halacha has come under attack. This is not a halacha, it's a minog. And why should that be so? So let's take a step back. Why in general on Tisha B'Av is it the custom not to learn Torah? Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Mesamchei Lev. The Pasuk can tell them the orders of Hashem are upright. It gives joy to the heart. Mishenichnas Av Mematin B'Simcha. That encompasses all types of Simcha. We don't want to tamper with Torah, the importance of Torah, but to the very least, we have to mekayim this Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos as well. You don't learn Torah. And this halach is so powerful, it's shocking. It's so powerful. I just want to illustrate this point, very important to understand this, that even if Tisha B'Av would be Chal on Shabbos, and after Chatzos, you're allowed to eat at the Suda HaMafsekes, the moment before the fast, you're allowed to have a Shalashudis. Kisudas Shlomo B'Shaitoi. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. How often do you have such an expression? It's Erev Tisha B'Av. In 10 minutes, it's going to be sundown. And now you're allowed to sit here. Kisudas Shlomo B'Shaitoi. The best wine, the best meat. There is no restriction when it comes to food. Yet, Shabbos, Erev Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to learn. According to the Minhag, even Shabbos.
That's right.
Even Shabbos, after Chatzos, when you're eating the best wine, the best meat, there is no learning taking place.
That's
why? Because Pikudei Hashem Yisham Mesamchei Lev. Something doesn't make sense. Why should that be? And if that's true, even when it's Shabbos Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av, Alachas Kama V'Kama, when it's a regular day of the week, and it's Erev Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos, you're not allowed to learn. So
that's
what's the pshat? What?
That's why you don't say Pirkei Avos.
I don't say Pirkei Avos in a Chanan, because it's learning Torah. So what's the pshat? So simply you'll tell me, well, food is one thing and learning is another thing. Food, you have no choice. You have to eat. Right? You have to eat. Learning, you don't have to do. So you make this differentiation. That's what. There's a Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer really hits the nail on the head. The Chasam Sofer is kedai to know this, to dwell and to memorize this Chasam Sofer. It's incredibly yisoid, not just for Tisha B'Av, it's the yisoid for the whole year round, the whole life. And he says, you know why you're not allowed to learn Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, even though the Avilus did not yet begin, even though it's Shabbos? Bizarre, why should you stop learning Erev Tisha B'Av? When you learn Torah, you think about what you learn for the next 24 hours. That's a natural condition of a human being. If something happens, you read the news, you think about the news for the next 24 hours. You see something, you think it percolates in your mind. If you are going to learn Torah, Erev Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos, the thoughts of learning in your mind are going to percolate, going to turn over in your mind at night and the following day into Tisha B'Av. And that's not right. Being on Tisha B'Av, it's Simcha. Pikudei Hashem Yishar Mesamchei Lev. You have to stop the train in advance so it has enough time, the mind has enough time to calm down. You will not be thinking and learning at night. The Simcha of learning Erev Yom Tov, Mimela will expand into the following night. That's a very powerful concept. No, saying not that far. I guess he holds that the Zman Chazal figured out that 6 hours is enough. 6 hours is enough to stop. And fine. And now that also that ties into another time why we don't learn. I told you the main reason why we do not learn in Tishrei is because it's Simcha. Other Mefarshim say that's nothing to do with Simcha. Not every person has Simcha when they learn. It's a Metzias. In order to have Simcha, you have to learn for a long. You have to be holding and learning. If you're holding and learning, then it's Simcha. If you spend long periods of time learning, then the mind opens up, then it's Simcha. But if you just chap a shir here, a chap a shir here, a var here, a var there, it's not necessarily Simcha. Not everyone today has the luxury in the modern world to have Simcha in their learning because they're raising children, they're making a parnasa, and it's not shaykh. It's just not possible to delve into learning to do the have Simcha. So why is the problem? The problem is because your mind has to be free to think about the Beis HaMikdash, to think about the Churban. That's the reason why. If you're going to be allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, what's going to happen? There's Daf Yomi share, there's this share, there's that share. Everyone's going to be going to Shiurim, you go listen to your tapes, listen to this, listen to that. No one's going to sit and dwell what this day is all about. If you're going to sit and learn, you're not necessarily going to have Simcha. It's just a way to free up your mind to focus on what the day is all about. That also ties into the Chasam Sefer. If you're going to be learning Erev Tisha B'Av, your mind's going to be percolating with Divrei Torah. You're not going to be free. Your mind's not going to be open to think about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. What?
Can you learn
a keynote? Of course. In Yom, that's an exception. You're allowed to learn in Yone Diyoma Kinois, Eicha, Mesech the Gittin, about the Churban, Mesech the Sanhedrin. That in Yonim, you're allowed to learn the laning of the power of the laning of the day, Kisar Libanin, anything that relates specifically to the day. That's about the day. That's an exception too. But many people don't have any satisfaction. Kinois is something very, very hard to learn kinois. You can't start learning kinois on Tisha B'Av. If you want to learn kinois, you got to start a long, long time before to have an appreciation. To sit down for the very first time on Tisha B'Av and start reading kinois and translating the translation, it's not going to go. You have a translation, this means that. It's so complex, it's so deep, it takes a very long time to settle, to sink in. So people don't have pleasure learning these things that they different people want to learn readily. No, you're not allowed to because you have to think about what the day is all about. Okay, that's it. Now, that you saw, by the way, is very good. I remember the Rav Pam, Zeicher Tzadik Livracha, at the Sima Shas. He said, this goes way back, it goes like a few Sima Shas before. I remember he said, the Maila of the people who learn Daf Yom before davening. So he says, the Daf takes him to the whole day. It's a whole different day. When you learn a Daf Gemara before you daven in the morning, the thoughts of the Daf, it churns in your mind the whole day. It's a whole different day. It's mamash, the Yisur of the Chasam Sefer. This concept that you learn, it doesn't just, okay, I learned, I'm done. It's impossible not to be that the machshav of the learning will be with you at a later point in the day. Okay, next. Now, halacha l'maaseh, do we do this? So these ideas are very powerful ideas. Yet you should know that many poskim don't take these things very seriously, and that means they let people learn after chatzos. You can learn after chatzos on Shabbos. You learn after chatzos. Learn whatever you want, as long as you learn. I guess it's because we live in a generation where there are so many distractions. And it's if you tell a person not to learn, who knows where that can take him? Who knows that where he'll end up? So therefore, today we live in a different world where people are very, very relaxed in what they do. Even talk about the kinnis on Tisha B'Av. Okay, these big gatherings they have all over. They have these videos online. They have all these programs. Every show, Rabbi Reisen has a beautiful program. Rabbi Leaf has a beautiful program. They have programs all over Tisha B'Av. These very, very low, very large program, very big programs. People come together. Dr. Mendel, he has a program. We have speakers the whole afternoon. Darshening. So he told me, Dr. Mendel told me that when he first started the program, he asked a certain very chashuv talmid chacham to be the speaker at his event. So he said to him, this is like the first time he did this, very early, when no one was doing any of this. He said, are you allowed to do something like this on Tisha B'Av? You're allowed to do this? To bring together people and to teach Torah Barabim? Even in Yonim, teaching in Yonim, it goes against what Tisha B'Av is all about. I'm not so sure you're allowed to do this. And he's right. Imam, she quotes over here, Simcha Bunim Kol, quotes a lot of sources that says, you know, it's not, there's not Pashit that you want to do this. What? It's not Pashit. However, Eis Lasois La Hashem Hefer Torasecha, it's not an issue today. What?
No, in fact, that's spawned all the other groups.
It's not an issue today. There is absolutely no one. No what?
I remember because he was my neighbor.
Dr. Mendel,
at the time, yeah.
35 years ago, even more. And so that's not an issue because there's mamish b'li yoytzim in aklal from modern to charedim and everywhere in between. You, there are groups, there are gatherings, every type of society today for kinois, you name it, they have it. Rashur, look, Rashur, he darshens on kinos, so he's from the kanoim, no?
Yes.
And then you'll go among the more modern. What's they talk about? I mean, what's they talk about? YOU and YOU and YOU, they have some fantastic programs. Rabbi Weil and Rabbi Weinreb and Rabbi J.J. Schachter. Okay, so this issue has not been an issue for us. We're very, very lenient when it comes to these matters in Talmud Torah, in Yonim of gathering for the purpose of Tisha B'Av. Okay, next. Let's go to the next topic is the Sudas Hamaf Sekes. This is very important. Erev Yom Kippur, there's a halacha that you're supposed to eat after Mincha. What we do is, the proper thing to do is to have a full meal and then be mafsik. How are you bake birchas hamazon and you mafsik. How are you mafsik? The best way to be mafsik is to daven mincha. That's the ultimate hefsik. You mafsik to mincha, and then when you come back, you have what's called in halacha the sudas hamafsekes. The sudas hamafsekes has very strict laws how it should be done. The first yisod, you have to know about the system of sekes, which will totally put you in a different frame of mind when you deal with the system of sekes, is to understand the sudas of sekes may ikar hadin should be eaten on Tisha B'Av itself. Tisha B'Av is avelos. We Rachman and some, we've all been in a base avel. They eat, right? Usually on the, when they come on the table, there's food for them. They're eating because we're always in the middle of eating. They eat. There's no halacha that an avel can't eat. An avel is supposed to eat. Not only is he supposed to eat, there's halachas how he eats. People, this first meal should be given to him by someone else. Should be provided. There's custom to give them eggs, something that are round, which are misamel.
When they come.
They come from the cemetery. But even the other inyanim over here, there's halachas. An avel eats. And other eats in a very specific way, certain types of food. There's a whole mahalach of how he eats. The sudas hamafsekes that we eat, Erev Tisha B'Av, may ikar hadin should be eaten on Tisha B'Av itself. On Tisha B'Av itself, we should sit on the ground. Someone should serve us eggs and bread, dip it in ash, and it's the suda of Tisha B'Av. So why don't we do this? It's because Tisha B'Av has a dual nature, in addition to it being Avelos, it's also a Yoim Tzoyim. It's also a Tainis Tzibur. So due to a technicality, we cannot eat on Tisha B'Av. So what do? We push back the Suda of Tisha B'Av to Erev Tisha B'Av. And in fact, there's a custom to say, it says in the Rambah, that when you eat the Suda Samadhi, you're supposed to say, Dohi Sudasa de Tisha B'Av. Just like you say, you're supposed to say when you're eating the Sudas of Sekes, this is the Tisha B'Av meal. Not the Erev Tisha B'Av meal, not the Sudas of Sekes meal. This is the Tisha B'Av meal. It's just due to a technicality, we're pushing it back. L'may nafkamina, the nafkamina now is you got to do it the right way. Now, part of being the right way, and this is brought down, this is one of the major issues, you're supposed to have an appetite. The system of sex is very, very important. You have to have an appetite. Having an appetite means don't fill yourself up in the previous meal to the degree where I can't eat anything anymore. You fill yourself up, you go to Mincha, you come back, now the system of sex. Am I hungry? No. I'm not hungry at all. Maybe I'll take a cup of water, a cup of coffee, but I'm not hungry. I'm going to force myself to eat a piece of bread and an egg. That's not a Sudas Mavsekes. That's a Sudagasa. Sudas Arai. So this halacha, a person should leave over, you have to calculate exactly how to do it, leave over just enough that when you eat the Sudas, it should be a bit te'avon, with appetite, so it should tackle be the Suda that you would normally eat on Tisha B'Av. And, okay, then the halacha is you only allowed to eat one tafshil. You're not allowed to eat more than one tashlichim. So if you want to have some other side dishes, you maybe can. You can have some other things. You have bread and you have an egg. I have an egg. Another thing, yeah, you can have anything. If you don't like eggs, you don't have to have eggs. You can have anything that is a cooked item. The Ramah says you should not have fish. This is a very big controversy. Why the Ramah said not to have fish at the Suda Mafsekes? So some want to say it's because fish is like meat. Now that's not true. That's not true when it comes to the 9 days. The 9 days, there's no limit. There's no limitation. You can have all the fish you want. But the Suda Mafsekes, with Machmir, we treat fish like meat. That's a chum. That's a chiddush. The Aruch HaShulchan says there's a toros hatfus. It does not really say in the Ramah dogim gidoyim. It means goat meat. Don't eat meat of a behemoth, an ox, and don't eat the meat of a gidi, of a kid, of a goat, I guess, whatever, a different type of meat. So fish, enechlam, you will be allowed to eat. Others say, I saw this more of a drush, is that the suda that you're eating, Erev Pesach, some of Sekes, corresponds to the sudas livyosan. The portion and the pleasure you will derive, listen to this, okay, get a load of this. This is heavy duty stuff. The pleasure and portion that you're going to derive at the Sudas Livyosan is going to be in equal relationship, will be equal measure to how you eat your Sudas Hamafsekes Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev, so I always thought, where am I going to sit? At the Sudas Livyosan. You see this Chasisha Tishim, the bleachers. So you sit all the way over on top, somewhere in the back, and you don't get any shirayim. Where are you going to sit at the Sudas Livyosan? Are you going to get a front row seat at the table with china and a waiter, white gloves? Or are you going to sit, who knows, outside? There's not enough room for you to come in, so sorry, buddy, stay outside. Watch it live on your smartphone. Watch all the tzaddikim. Watch the tzaddikim. Watch them eat. You can take out your smartphone. You can see. You can see. I went to a Leviathan once. It was so crowded. So I stood outside and I watched the Leviathan on my smartphone. The Leviathan had a live hookup. You know, a lot of the more modern chapels today, they have every funeral. They have them hookup. You just go to their website. You go to their website, and so people who can't come in. There's a 24/7 live feed. You can see what's going on. Kohanim. So, you know, it's like I was standing outside, couldn't get it, it was very crowded. So I stood outside and I watched the speakers. I heard them, I watched them on my smartphone. Livyosan, this is El Bazach. It goes to Livyosan, smart side. There's no room for you to stay outside. You can watch the Livyosan on your smartphone. Is that what you really want? Or you'd rather be a participant? So, Zelu Mazeh, you want to have a front row seat. It's going to correspond to how you eat your Sudas Hamafsekes. Nimela, we understand why no fish allowed. If you eat the fish by the Sudas Hamafsekes, you just ate up your fish from the Livyosan. This corresponds. The fish is Vidafka from the Livyosan. This, there's no fish, because we want to show the contrast between the Livyosan, this Sudas Livyosan, and the Sudas Hamafsekes. Okay, so that's all. You only have one cooked item. What it is, whatever you want. The minig is an egg, because an egg is a suda of an other. Or lentils. If you don't like eggs, you can have lentils. If you don't like either of the two, so have something else. Make whatever you want. But only one cooked dish. You eat this in order that it should be. You're supposed to sit on the floor. You're supposed to, lechatchil, if you can, to dip your bread in ash. If that nauseates you, you make you sick, then don't do it, of course. Okay, it says that one of the Amarayim, Yushalmi, says he ate bedafka stale bread. He bedafka prepared stale bread, not ordinary bread, and he sat between the tanur v'kirayim, sitting near the oven. Why the oven? I don't know why the oven. Maybe because it's dirty there. I don't know why the oven. What?
In the summertime, it's even
it's more tsar. Are you allowed to have drinks during this livyosan? So water for sure you can have. Are you allowed to have a coffee and tea? Absolutely. Are you allowed to have soda, carbonated drinks? Or beer? No. It says here in the Paiskin, it's that this whole purpose of the Suda is to be misavel. Having these type of drinks, beer, or even sweet drinks, it's not in the spirit of the Sudas Livyosan. Okay.
Do you want to be
Mayim Chayim? No, Mayim Chayim.
The Sudas Livyosan.
Well, I understand.
You're saying just like the
Suda.
That's a
Tisha B'Av job. No, okay. So now, okay, what else? The Suda B'Av style, you're supposed to sit alone. You are supposed to sit alone. You're not supposed to sit in a chavura. You do not sit in the group. In the event you make a mistake, what happens? This can happen. What happens if you sit by mistake in a group? You just happen to find yourself three people sitting together. It was an accident, but that's how it came about. There was no room in the house. Let's say there was no room. Mom, you can find a very small space and eat together. Do you bench Bezimun? No. Even if you happen to end up sitting together, for whatever reason, it can happen. Okay, let's say... What? Let's say you have company. Let's say it happens sometimes. Okay, you have no choice. You're sitting together. You do not have zimun. It's an amazing thing. You can have, let's say, people who are not well. They sit around the table. They can't sit on the floor. And you're serving them. Whatever the story is. And there's five people around the table. There is no zimun. What? Because that's halach. That's halach. There is no zimun. No, not as soon as I have seconds. I don't know the halach. Is that haka true by Avelis? Maybe yes, but not by the Suda Samav Sekis. It's like an explicit art scroll, the Farish art scroll. There is no Zimun by a Suda Samav Sekis even when you have three people together. Next, Yilchatchila supposed to sit on the floor. Next, do you have to wear your take off your leather shoes? No. There's no halacha. The leather shoes begin at night. You do not need to change into your non-leather shoes for the Suda Samav Sekis. You can keep on your regular shoes. Next, let's say you can't sit that on the floor. You can. Not everyone is able to sit on the floor. Not everyone is physically able to do so. So what do you sit on a chair? Here's the Chiddush. If you're sitting on a chair, you're going to the dining room table, don't sit in your regular seat. You're supposed to sit in a different seat. Okay, if L'chatchila sit on the floor. You can't sit on the floor. Go, L'may Nafkamina, you come to shul. Not everyone in shul, you shouldn't. If you can't sit and go to kinas, you can't sit on the floor, so don't sit on the floor. You don't have to be embarrassed. If you can't sit on the floor when it comes to kinas, better go to a place where there's a program and the kinas has meaning to you, and you sit on a chair or a comfortable bench, regular, and then to go and go home, and anyway sit on a chair or lie down on a bed. Okay, the halach of sitting on a low chair is a very weak minhag. You see by Avelim all the time. You see, Ma'is and Mecholim. You go to a base Ovel, Avelim, who can't sit on a low chair. They have a regular chair.
They have low chairs.
But so many times they can't sit on a low chair. What? They can't sit on a low chair. Right. So it's not even a question. If a person doesn't have a suffix, so they sit in a regular chair. It's a very weak. It's the right thing to do, of course. But if you can't do it, you can't do it. If you're not going to be sitting on a low chair, don't sit in your same location. Well, not after you go to shul. A person goes to shul and they can't sit on the floor. You can't sit on the floor. Fine, sit on a chair, sit on the bench, but don't sit in your regular seat on Tisha B'Av. Okay, don't sit on your regular seat.
Any Tisha B'Av programs you could recommend?
Rabbi Reisman?
Nine Reisman?
Eiter. Let's go further. So this is the issue of that sitting on the floor. You sit in a different seat. Okay. Okay, mincha we mentioned, you don't say tachan by mincha, why not? Why do you say tachan by mincha? Emuna, a moed, it's not a real moed. It's a very weak time, karlai moed. The real reason why you don't say tachan, right, the real reason why you don't say tachan is because sosam tithilasi. Hashem does not, it's a pasuk in Eicha, Hashem does not want to hear from us. That's really appears to be the ikar tam why you don't say tachanun. Not because of korai lai mo. It says that in the Ramah. It does say that. So you shouldn't make light of it. But ikar tam is because, and therefore, if ikar tam is because sosam tefilasi, that would not apply to Erev Tisha B'Av. So l'chor, you should say tachanun Erev Tisha B'Av. This is a very, very fascinating area of halacha to understand why you don't say tachanun Erev Tisha B'Av. It's a very, very difficult concept. Erev Tisha B'Av in a certain way is even worse than Tisha B'Av. Why? Remember, we didn't see that enough seconds. What were our ancestors doing Erev Tisha B'Av in the Midbar? When you're sitting on the floor and eating your bread dipped in ash with an egg, what were your ancestors doing at this moment in time? They were digging graves for themselves. They were digging their own graves. And right after the sunset, they lie down in the grave. They got into the grave right before sunset. And every year, what was it, like 15,000? or 18,000, I remember the exact numbers, didn't wake up the next day. So think about that. When you're eating the Sidon of Sekes, think about, you know, this is the Holocaust, this is all these things, digging your own grave and lying down and the anxiety of not knowing if you're going to wake up tomorrow. And then if you're going to wake up tomorrow, what about my brother? What about my father? What about my mother? What about my sister? What about my children? Are they going to wake up tomorrow? So it wasn't a very pleasant moment in time, Erev Tisha B'Av, right before sunset, what would happen at that moment in time. It's a very frightening moment in time, that moment. Okay, so al chayra, you should say tachnun. Okay, it would be a very good time to say tachnun. Okay, nibla biyad Hashem ra'ah is a very good time to mevakesh rachamim. And yet we don't say tachnun. Why? Because it's erev yomtiv? That's a very shvach time. Tomorrow is the moed. And tomorrow is not really a moed anyway. Maybe it's a moed in the future. We also love it's a moed. Today it's not a moed. Today it's a yom tzom. It's a day of avelos.
Anticipating.
So it expresses a very great degree of emunah. There's a lot to be said about that. Okay, this is something which is not for now. We're running out of time. This is something which is a very, very fascinating topic of discussion. Not to say tachanun at this moment in time. Again, this moment in time
nobody puts on an invitation. The chasana will be in Yerushalayim, and in case Chalila Mashiach doesn't,
people don't do that. You don't. People don't do that.
Yeah.
Once in a while, you see that occasionally. Okay. In any event, this is the Sudas Hamav Sekes is something very serious. It's not something to make light of. Dahi Sudasa de Tisha B'Av. You eat it b'te'avom, on the floor, one tafshil. After you finish, by the way, no more food. That's it. This is it. When you eat this, that's the end. That's why you have the suda before, because that when you make the suda with one tafshil, you can't eat anymore. If you're really, really hungry, it's a problem. What to do? What you do? So you have to be mad. You have to wait. It should be a brach shem tzricha. You should make a brach birchas hamazon. You should wait a little bit. And then you should be mafsik, and then you can eat. You eat something else, whatever you need to do. Whatever you need to do, obviously, you're going to do, because the ikar is that you should fast well. But ezeo chacham haroya es hanoilat. Another very important halacha before the fast. It's very important halacha, ma'asa, not to be dehydrated. I don't know what the weather is going to be, but even whatever the situation is, it's usually very, very hot in Tisha B'Av, so you have to drink like a camel, to drink and drink and drink until you can't stop. When you drink and drink and drink until you can't stop, you have to be very careful. Can you make a bracha? After you finish your Sudas Hamav Sekes. What?
It's no thirst.
So therefore, after you finish your Sudas Hamav Sekes, and now you're going to be looking at the clock, it's going to be 5 minutes until sunset. Okay, now's the time to fill up. And you gobble down one cup, another cup. It's going to be on Tisha B'Av 100 degrees, Chas V'Shalom. Okay, so you gobble, drink. Do you make a bracha shahako? Not necessarily. Probably not. More often not than yes, because you already had a big meal. And you dam in chan, you some have sekes. You really thirsty? Come on, you're not really thirsty. So you're just drinking it to fill up. You do not make a bracha shahako. Okay. Okay, let's see. What else do we have over here? This is Lavsekes. All different types of dishes.
That down from somebody.
He brings that down.
And
everything is brought down. That's a pas halacha Shulchan Aruch. Shayon kashaka, if you're not thirsty, that's a basic halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You don't, if you drink water and you're not thirsty, water, pure water, even bottled water that you paid $1.50 for, you don't make a shahakol if you're not drinking it for thirst. That's the basic halacha. Okay, shoes. Now, when it comes sunset, once sunset arrives, you have to put on your shoes. It begins with sunset, not with say sakachavim. As soon as it's sunset, no more eating. There's no taisis, by the way, there's no taisis yom Tisha B'Av. You can go to the very, very minute. You don't start Tisha B'Av 18 minutes before sunset. You start Tisha B'Av with sunset. There's no haisaf on Tisha B'Av. You start immediately. You're not allowed to drink water. You're not allowed to eat, of course. And also, you're not allowed to sit on a regular chair. It's very uncomfortable at home. I mean, what do you say? My father, you sit on the steps. Okay, sit on the steps. What are you going to say? You're going to lie down. You're going to sit. All right. Whatever you do, you have a special chair. Well, what are they going to talk about? I don't. I don't like this. I don't think this is the right thing to do.
It's not, I'm just saying my opinion, doesn't say this anywhere, and people disagree with me, so be it. It's not the right thing to sit on a chair that's miyuchud for aveilim on Tisha B'Av. Okay, today everything is misaskin, so Baruch Hashem, no one even has this stuff lying around. But it used to, years ago, people had shiva chairs. You know, the shul used to have these shiva chairs. So used to be a guy who go into the office and he would take out the kit that they would bring to the aveilim. They had a shiva chair and he would use it on Tisha B'Av. It didn't sit well with me. It's true. It's Tisha B'Av. You sit on a low chair. You're right. You sit on a low chair. It's not the right thing. It's just not. I don't know. I can't tell you. It's like Maris Ayin. It's like, you know, don't bring the Satan upon yourself. Tiftach Peh. Don't use the paraphernalia, all of the things that are used for Aveilim for Tisha B'Av. Leave the Misaskim stuff for Misaskim. Tisha B'Av, figure it out. Figure out what you're going to do. You want to go bring in a beach chair? People bring all these crazy in camps. The most bizarre things you've ever seen in your whole life. I used to see in Camp Morris. Camp Morris, they take out all the tables and chairs. They take it out, all the tables and chairs come to the Smedish. Long, very long kinnis, no explanation. The day after, just so, I don't want to say the word boring, but it is torture. It's torture. Okay, it was very hard. And people bring in all of these type of things to sit on. Beach chairs and this very creative things people invent for Tisha B'Av, whatever. But don't take out the stuff that's miyuchid for the Aveilim. You'll see some people do this. I think it's just not the right thing to do. It's not halachically. All right, shoes. 86. Not bad. Not bad. Not bad. It's too early to tell. There's really no way. It's way too early. It's way too early to tell. Okay, Rabbi Isai, next. Shoes. Shoes. What kind of shoes do you wear? Non-leather shoes. Problem is today, everything's very complicated. Even the ones that are not leather have, maybe there's certain ornaments, the certain designs here.
I changed my brand of sneakers.
Yeah.
Wrote to the company and asked if there were any leather in it, and they said no. It's kosher for vegans.
For vegans.
No animal product of that.
Okay.
No GMOs.
Okay. All right. So all I can say is that there are different. They're not leather, but there are some parts. There's some design, some stitching, leather suede. The ikar is the ikar shoe. If you remove that part of the shoe and it would still be a shoe, it's okay if it has some design, some suede. You have some of the sneakers, they have some suede design stitch inside.
What happens with the cracks?
The cracks? The cracks were makel. The oilim is makel. That's the they say from Rav Yashiv. They say the chumras. Chaim Knievsky is machmir. It's not the minik. The rabbi say ruba deruba. 95% of the oilim is makel. The cracks are good. Okay, they're good. You're going to find the kanoim. They're going to tell you the cracks is wood. They'll tell you cracks has a shim of eights, wood. And wood, according to one opinion, a wood shoe is also no good. Why is a wood shoe no good? I'm not exactly sure. But wood, this plastic, is not in Shulchan Aruch. That's mutter. But wood, I don't know the laws, is no good. And cracks is a derivative of wood. I don't know how these things work. So some will tell you, you're not allowed to wear cracks. I would not advise that. If you have cracks, gesunte heit, wear the cracks. Another thing is, let's say you have sneakers that are so comfortable. They are so comfortable. I wish I could wear these every day. So that's not in the style. That's not really in the spirit. In the spirit of the day. So yesh v'yesh. The different places can have this discussion that there are two dinim, there's a din of leather, halacha, and there's a spirit of the law. Mm-hmm. If your sneakers are too comfortable, maybe you should not be wearing those sneakers.
I thought it's for appearance.
What? Then there's marasai, there's another issue. There's another issue where today you can't even tell if it's leather or not leather. So that's a Marasayan issue. I don't think we'll map on that because as long as they look funny and people will assume, oh, you checked it out, it's not leather, they're not going to be choshed that it's leather, even though today we can't really tell.
People wear they look like shoes. And if you look at them, they look like leather, but they're not.
Right. It used to be an issue that Marasayan, if something looks like leather, even though it's really not, you should not wear because Marasayan. today, I don't think there's a Maris Einish, because everyone knows that there's such a variety, there's so much available, there's so much technology. If you come into something which doesn't look like your regular Shabbos shoes, you're wearing white shoes. These are not your regular shoes. They look to me like they're leather, but obviously if it's Tisha B'Av and you're wearing these, it must be that they're not leather. So I don't think Maris Ayin is an issue today. It does not seem like an issue today. However, the issue of it being too comfortable, like I told you, so yesh v'yesh, there are different styles in halacha. Some say, just follow the halacha. If it's not leather, it's mutter, adarabah, you should be as comfortable as you can possibly be in order to focus on the kinnis, on echa, and all the other things. Others will tell you, if you are able, if you are of the presence of mind, and you're in the frame of mind to do both, it is a hiddur. Chazal have the technical halacha. Chazal also want you to follow the spirit of the law. The reason why they told you can't wear leather should not be comfortable. You should be uncomfortable. There's a precedent. Another shot. Let's say you have to walk to shul. I come to shul, I don't need fancy sneakers, leather. But when I go to shul, I have a problem with my foot. And I have orthopedic shoes, which are designed special. It's a 5-10 minute walk. I don't want to take any risks when I go to shul. I want to wear my leather orthopedic shoes. Just like you go in a car, everyone's sitting on a chair, nice, comfortable, cushioned leather seat. no problem. So,
I take out the seat.
Just like when you go in the car, you sit down. When you go to shul, Rabbi Yisrael, when you go to shul, if it's a problem for you, you need a special type of orthopedic shoes, you can go in your leather shoes. When you come to shul, the chatzil, take along with you the regular sneakers. When you come to shul, so take it off and put on your sneakers. So take off the shoes and wear socks, whatever you want to do. What? When you walk to shul, if you have a condition and you had specially custom made leather orthopedic shoes, you can wear them. You can walk with them when you come to shul. When you come to shul, if in the shul itself you don't need them anymore, once I've arrived at my destination, it's just a question of getting up and sitting down and walking around a few steps. I don't even. So then you should take them off in shul and put on something else, and then put them back on when you go back home. Okay.
We have orthotics.
What?
Leather orthotics, an insert.
Oh, insert, very good. If it's not a permanent insert, it's mutter l'chatchila. If you have sneakers, regular sneakers, and you have a leather insert, mutter. If the leather insert is stitched into your plastic shoes, it's a problem. Unless if you can do without it. If you can't do without it, it's sakana, it's going to hurt your back. It's going to hurt. You know, the people have various conditions. Very complicated thing. The foot, then it's mutter.
You mentioned before.
Yes.
Things that we don't do on Tisha B'Av because it's Mechse Kavelus.
Mechse Kavelus, yeah.
Is that similar to people have a minig or something? It's halacha, you don't walk around the house without shoes, barefoot.
That's another issue. That's a whole other Kabbalistic issue. That's a separate topic. Well, at home, you walk. Alright, that's it. Okay, what else we want to discuss? Okay, the Oren HaKodesh. Okay, Oren HaKodesh, the pasuk, Bitsa Em Rasoi. It says Hashem Bitsa, he carried out his decree. But Bitsa also means to split. Em Rasoi means his royal garments. Lashon Em Rasoi, Hashem, when Hashem was so frustrated what he had to do to us, Hashem, he writes Kriya on his garments. So what's Hashem's garment? Hashem's garment is the paroiches of the Oren HaKodesh. It's an amazing insight. When you look at the paroiches, why are we so mahad of a beautiful paroiches? The paroiches is Hashem's garment. It's Hashem's royal garment. And being that on Tisha B'Av Hashem was Bitsa Imra, so Hashem gripped. He was rent? How do you say? He rent his royal garment. So the minig is to remove the paroiches. We remove the paroiches from the Oren HaKodesh on Tisha B'Av. When do you do this? You do this at night, the whole night, until Chatzos the next day. This is the serious thing that it should be done. Dimming the lights. Why do we dim the lights? So there are two reasons. Number one is B'machashakim Hoshivani. A pasuk in Eicha, in darkness he has put me. B'machashakim, there's another time, it's a Medrash. The Medrash, Hashem said to the Malachim, what should a Melech do when a Melech is in Avelus? The Malachim said, Shemesh v'yareach kodaru. They told Hashem, dim the lights. The Malachim told Hashem, the Malachim said to Hashem, his advice, what should I do? Don't dim the lights. The sun and the moon should be dim on this day. Or the pasuk in Eicha, b'machashakim hashivani. L'may nafkamina, there are two different reasons. The nafkamina is, should you dim the lights only for Eicha, or do you dim the lights the whole Ma'arif, and then you're home? if the dimming of the light is because of b'machashakim ha'yeshivani, you only have to dim the lights for the recitation of Eicha. But if it's because of the Medrash, you dim the lights the whole davening in the morning and at night in your home as well. In your home as well. Do you have dim lights at home? Do you turn off lights at home? It depends. If it's because of the Medrash, yes. If it's because of Eicha, only when you recite Eicha. Next, people don't know this. It is critical to read Eicha. People just think, oh, big deal, I'm not going to shul, I'll daven matzah, I'll go to sleep. No, the kinnis, no, tomorrow I'll say some kinnis. Eicha, no, in shul they say Eicha. Let me ask you, Purim night, I'm not going to shul. Are you going to lay in the Megillah? You bet you are. If I can't lay in the Megillah, I'm going to go get someone to come to the house lay in the Megillah. It's the same thing, Tisha B'Av. Same thing, Tisha B'Av, you have to hear the Megillah. The only thing, you don't have to hear from a klaf. You don't need a klaf. But the chumrah is, people don't know this. People think since you don't need a klaf, so big deal. It's like saying Tehillim. Say Tehillim. You don't say Tehillim. No, that's not the way it is. It's a very serious matter.
Why don't we read Eicha in the morning?
Because that's Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik explains, because the Haftorah is the Eicha. Today there's a new craze. I didn't see the Flemish Jewish Journal yet. Soon, I'm eager to see, to devour the Flemish Jewish Journal and Jewish Home and all these wonderful papers. And also the Atena Modia, which I don't have access to, but I am certain.
For women, especially
I am ladies. Certain you're going to find there all over, they're going to present Tisha B'Av programs, events, and probably a thousand of them. And you're going to see on many of them, a special reading of Eicha from Klaf by day. Not enough, we read Eich at night. We read Eich at night in Klaf. We're going to read it again by day on Klaf. By day. By day. No, you don't make a bracha. No, shechianu, no. By day, there's no bracha. At night is a machloikis, you make a bracha. Machloikis, some do, some don't, but the shechianu, definitely not. Klaf, and by day, there's no bracha whatsoever. This is a new minhag. It became a new thing. It became a new trend. Rav Soloveitchik years, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's nothing wrong. It's a nice thing. It's in the spirit of the day. There's nothing wrong. Chashal for me to say one big word. Rav Soloveitchik already, he had Ezer Chacham Haraya Sanoilat. He saw this coming 50 years ago. He saw this coming, and a whole chapter is devoted in the book. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Rav Soloveitchik basically said it's wrong. If you read between the lines, he said it's mamish wrong. You don't lay Eicha by day. Eicha you lay at night. By day, you read the Haftorah. The Haftorah of Yirmiyah by day, or Soif Asi Feim Nu'um Hashem, is a very unique Haftorah. When do you lay the special Haftorah on a day of Chol, Yom Tzom? Never. Haftorah is only Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's no such thing as laying in Haftorah by day. You never lay Haftorah by day. You lay by Yechal, you finished. It's unheard of. It's unique. My mincha, that's mincha, that's the dinner mincha. We do the zelbazach, tainis. To lay naftar by day, when it's not Shabbos or Yom Tov, this is unprecedented. To make brachas, four brachas, and the bracha levatala, and brachas before, Soloveitchik, he holds that the laying of the haftarah by day is more choshuv than the laying of eicha at night. The ikar kinnis of the day is the haftarah with the brachas. Mimela, if you're going to start putting signs, oh, we're laying Eicha with a klaf by day, you are insulting the Haftarah, the Nevi'im. Eicha is a Megillah. It's Ksuvim. The Nevi'im is on a much higher caliber. To go put signs with this is wrong. Imamish, he holds this mamish a zilzal. It's a zilzal in the Kedusha of the Divrei Navi to go laying Eicha by day. Eicha is at night. At night, b'machashakim ha'shivani, you lay neich at night, a bracha, not a bracha, it's a minug, maybe yeah, maybe not, don't even niklaf. By day, the ikar focus is the haftorah. So this is chadoshim labakarim, what's going on over here today in the newspapers is a naya minug. This was never done before, it's not traditional, and people get swept up. Wow. You know, before you get swept up with something, first check into the Shiroshim.
See if you have a good room.
What about many people have a menu? Sorry, people have a menu to lay an Eicha after kiddush, not for a cloth, no brother.
Right, that's exactly what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about. That's exactly the last 10 minutes. Oh, I'm sorry. That's exactly what we're talking about. Exactly. This is a naya minuk. This is a new trend. I told you, look in the newspaper, it's a new trend. Rav Soloveitchik, he anticipated this would become a thing in the day, and he's basically said it's a zilzal to the kedusha of the Navi. The Iker avoida is to let. It's a nice thing. I told you it's not, but that's not the Iker. The Iker is the haftorah. Period. Give some time. Two more minutes. A few short things. No, it's 11:30. Let's stop. It's 11:30. Okay. We have a